भगवद गीता 4.16 किम कर्म किम कर्मेति कवयोप्यत्र मोहितः तत्ते कर्म प्रवक्ष्यामि यज्ञात्वा मोक्षसे अशुभात्। कृष्णा इज हियर स्पीकिंग अबाउट हाउ वन कैन एक्ट इन अ वे बाय विच वन कैन अटेन लिबरेशन। सो इज ही स्पीक्स हियर किम कर्म, व्हाट इज कर्म, किम अकर्मेति, व्हाट इज अकर्म, कवयोप्यत्र मोहितः, कवय, कवय इज द वाइज पीपल, इवन द ग्रेट फिलोसोफर्स, वाइज पीपल, अत्र मोहितः, इवन अपि, इवन दे, अत्र इन दिस मोहितः, दे आर डिल्यूडेड। नाउ इफ वी टेक दिस वर्ड सिंपलिस्टिकली, karma to mean action and akarma to mean inaction, and if action simply means moving around in the sense of activity and akarma means inactivity, then actually there is nothing for a wise person to be bewildered about in that. Even an ordinary child can tell, oh, this person is, if somebody is sitting on a chair and the chair is rocking around, moving around, the person says, oh, this person is moving. And somebody is sitting stationary on a chair, this is not moving. So, from the literal point of view, understanding the difference between karma and akarma is something which even a child can do. So here, when Krishna is using the word karma and akarma, it is not simplistically in terms of activity and inactivity, but rather, it is in terms of action that produces reaction and action that doesn't produce reaction. So karma here is a generic referent to any kind of action that produces reaction, good or bad. And akarma is the kind of action which does not produce reaction. So the Bhagavad Gita uses the word akarma in two different senses. Sometimes it uses the word akarma to refer to inactivity. For example, in 2.47, karmanne vadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana ma karma phala heturbhur ma te sangostva karmani. So here, ma te sangostva, do not be attached to a karmani, to not doing one's work. So here Krishna is quite clear that he says, don't do inactivity. So akarmani means not doing any activities. There akarma, if we see, clearly refers to inactivity, because there if we say non-reactive work, work that does not produce any reaction, then there will be no, it is meaningless in that context. Do not be attached to work that produces no reaction. No, actually that work that produces no reaction is itself the ultimate purpose of the for which the Gita is spoken. So why should one be detached from that? So there the word akarma refers to inactivity. But here akarma refers not to inactivity, but non-reactive work. So Krishna is saying, which work will be reactive and which work will be non-reactive? Understanding this difference is something which bewilders even the kavaya. So therefore, we need to look at words in their proper context to understand their meanings. Sometimes if we translate words from one language to another without understanding the semantics, the meanings involved, then it might be, the translation might be okay from a dictionary point of view, but it will be a disaster from the meaning point of view. So, for example, sometimes the computers just use dictionaries, and by using dictionaries, they try, and by looking at usages of words, computers try to translate a word from one language to another. So now, one example that is often given in the history of computing about how errors can happen if there is no semantic comprehension, is that there is a biblical statement that the spirit is the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. So what that essentially means is that the heart, the soul, that is willing to progress towards God, but the flesh, that is the body, is weak, and the body succumbs to temptation and drags one down. So when translated into Russian and retranslated back, one possible translation which will be okay with dictionary but a disaster with the meaning is, the vodka is good but the meat is rotten. So what has happened, the spirit is translated as a form of wine, and in Russian it becomes vodka, and flesh has become meat. So thus, so whereas the first statement is a principle for living, especially for spiritual living, the second statement is a description of the dinner menu or of a meal menu, basically. So it's such a huge semantic divorce between these two sentences that can happen. So we cannot just comprehend scripture simply by memorizing dictionary. We have to enter into the context, and especially we also need to associate with those who have entered into the context deeply, and then we can understand the import of the scripture better. So the wise are bewildered not about simply who is moving and who is not moving, but about what kind of work is reactive, what kind of work will be reactive, and what kind of work will not be reactive. And Krishna says, Tatte karma pravakshami, that pravakshami, that I will speak about that knowledge of karma. Ajnatva mokshase shubhat, and by knowing this, Ajnatva mokshase. Mokshase means one will become free from ashubhat, from inauspiciousness. This particular line, Ajnatva mokshase ashubhat, will come again in the Gita also in 9.1. Idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshyam menasuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam Ajnatva mokshase ashubhat. So, inauspiciousness is because of ignorance, and knowledge removes that inauspiciousness. Yajnatva. Now, it's not any kind of knowledge, it's a specific kind of knowledge will remove this inauspiciousness. Just as if a person is sick, then not knowing what the sickness is, not knowing what the medicine is inauspicious. Because that sickness will worsen and the person may even die. But knowing the disease and knowing the cure is auspicious. So Krishna is saying similarly, all living beings are infected by the disease of karma, and they are suffering. Now what exactly is the disease and what exactly is the medicine, that has to be understood. And that Krishna says, Pravakshami, I will speak that. Tatte, that subject I will speak. So, here Krishna will give a further analysis of the process of Karma Yoga. He has talked about it in 3.35 he talked about it, and then there was a diversion somewhat because of Arjuna's two questions. First is, what is it that impels us to sin? That was 36, and 37 to 43 then was Krishna's answer about analyzing lust and how to control lust. And in fourth chapter, when Krishna started giving the history of spiritual knowledge, Arjuna asked a question about how Krishna, you could have spoken to the sun god. That was 4.4. And then Krishna gave knowledge about his position from 4.5 to around 4.50, and now Krishna is seamlessly bringing the subject from knowledge about himself to knowledge about Karma Yoga, and taking it in a deeper level and explaining it. Thank you.